Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It starts with a whistle and ends with a gun. 60 minutes of close in action from kickoff to touchdown. It's called pro football.
Touchdown, Kansas City! A remarkable acrobatic scramble. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
The men who play it are the best there are. Disciplined professionals who perform on a stage 100 yards long.
Watson survives it and then checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40, inside the 30, inside the 20, to the 10-yard line. Tywan Jones, Deshaun Watson, magical, 34 yards.
The drama begins with a slap of leather in the song of men in motion.
Lamar Jackson, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens. Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score.
I mean, that's Michael Vick in 2004.
This is pro football, the sport of our time.
Prescott on a first and 10. He's going to run it up the middle on a draw. Makes one man miss, stiff arms another, and then slammed down on his right shoulder by Logan Ryan.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's grabbing his right ankle.
Oh, my gosh. His leg just went the opposite direction, Bob.
Oh, my gosh. His ankle is sticking out of his shoe.
Oof, that's a gruesome radio call. Three NFL cities, three guests, three questions each at 3 o'clock as we go around the NFL here on the Danny Parkins Show. Rami Makhlouf in all week. We start in Dallas. Mike Fisher, Cowboys Insider, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, at Fish Sports on Twitter. He's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Mike, very much appreciate the time. Obviously, the Dak Prescott news, devastating for the Cowboys. What are the chances that Dak isn't a Cowboy long-term?
Yeah, like zero. I must say, first of all, your production team, maybe you have to be a person of a certain age, but that's fantastic. That John Facenda 1970s mesh with today, somebody deserves a raise at your place. That's all I'm saying.
And yes, Dak, Chris Tannehill is the best. Tony Romo to fourth quarter quarterback ratings is Chris Tannehill to radio production.
Really, really outstanding. And the other person that's going to get a raise is Dak Prescott. And I know that emotions, people are letting their emotions get in the way of facts. He did not get his ankle amputated. He got his ankle surgically repaired. If Dak Prescott shows up next March and he doesn't have a foot, okay, that's going to change the contract situation a little bit. But this is an injury that you come back from in five months, and you're fine. So he will show up in April. First of all, the Dak Prescott that we know, he won't sit on his couch in Prosper, Texas, eating bonbons for the next 5 months. He will rehab vigorously. I believe that those tears that were coming out of his eyes in the back of that medical cart, I believe his right eye tear was about the pain, and his left eye tear was about, I can't be here anymore with my team. And that's a guy that you're going to pay, even though he's not the perfect quarterback. He's about the perfect leader. And His ankle is going to be fine, and we're going to revert right back to where we were going to be anyway, which is, do you want to do a franchise tag at $38 million, or can we work out a long-term deal that now is going to be $40 million? And with all due respect to Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk, he's writing about a third option, which is you let Dak Prescott go via free agency. And as I just tweeted at Fish Sports, are you just trying to stir the crap pot, or do you not understand the rules? They are not going to let their MVP go via free agency. He will either be tagged again, or he will get a long-term blockbuster Patrick Mahomes-style contract.
Mike, I was in Milwaukee covering the Packers for the entirety of Mike McCarthy's tenure there, and he was a different guy at the end than he was at the start, mainly just tired. What are your early impressions of the Dallas Cowboys head coach?
Well, many of the folks here are so happy to have Jason Garrett gone. Some of them because they think Jason Garrett sucked, and they're wrong. The smart ones understand he just ran out of gas. And usually that happens after 4 years. Here, it took 10. But I must say, and I've had a chance a couple times to sit down with Mike McCarthy, and I, you know, it's not like he's not a good guy. I'm not arguing that. But the freshness of him has caused the media and maybe some of the fan base here to be really accepting of 1-3, which is how they started. And they were favorites in week one, and they lost. They were favorites in week two, and they lost. The loss of Seattle is understandable. But they've been favored in all of these games, and have stumbled to a 1-3 start and now a 2-3 start, in which they start games against a team like the Giants that can't score 12 points in a game, and the Cowboys find themselves down 14-3 to start. The Giants scored 34 points Sunday. That's a month worth of scoring in New York for both teams. And so I have no dislike for Mike McCarthy, but I feel like I'm the only person in Dallas-Fort Worth holding this coaching staff's feet to the fire a little bit. They're moving around. They're moving deck chairs on the Titanic. Hey, let's take the defensive coordinator. We're going to have him move from the booth to the sideline, as they did Sunday. Oh, and then they celebrate what a great move it was. If it's so smart, why didn't you do that in week one? Special teams coach Bone Fossil, who everybody loves, they three times in that game Sunday, the special teams had the wrong number of men on the field on special teams. So I like Bones Fossil. I like Mike Nolan. I like Mike McCarthy. But they were 1-3 because of coaching. And maybe if they win the division, which they're still favored to do, incredibly at 2-3, they lead the division. Maybe they'll win the division because of coaching too.
Last thing with Mike Fisher on the Cowboys before we go to Pittsburgh and talk a little Steelers. Is there any reason to think the worst defense in the NFL gets better beyond Leighton Vander Esch's return from injury?
You know, they're going to have Leighton Vander Esch come back, and he wants to come back now. Chidi Awuzie, the cornerback, will come back soon. Sean Lee is fighting his way back. The fact is, they've got a problem with a disconnect. The players say we're playing soft, and McCarthy says, no, we're not. The players say that we're overwhelmed by this defensive system, and McCarthy says, no, you're not. The players say, we don't really give 100% all the time. And McCarthy says, yes, you do. McCarthy should quit coming on the radio and arguing with what his players say and listen to what they're saying. The fix of this defense, because it doesn't lack talent. They have mediocre talent, surely. But the inability to match system with players is why this is, according to the numbers, historically, the worst Cowboy defense ever and maybe the worst defense in football right now. And one of the poorest I've seen in 40 years of covering the NFL.
Mike Fisher covers the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. We very much appreciate your time, Fish. Follow him on Twitter, at Fish Sports. Let's go to Pittsburgh.
Three receivers left, two to the right. Here's the snap. He throws it down the field. Oh, that is Chase Claypool into the end zone for a Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. Wide open from 35 out, and Ben kind of knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been saying it all day. This is our fourth time saying it, but that's top shelf Canadian bacon and sizzling.
We'll go to Carolina in a little bit. They're the next Bears opponent, but Pittsburgh is fascinating. Quietly 4-0 in a division with 4-1 Baltimore and 4-1 Cleveland. We're joined by Chris Mack, Yost the Morning Show, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Chris, we appreciate your time. Ben Roethlisberger talked about rust coming back from injury and then the COVID break. How is Ben Roethlisberger looking to you?
He's looking as efficient as he's ever looked, guys. I mean, one interception through the first four games puts him on pace for the first full season of single-digit interceptions in his career, and that's a decade and a half of football. He's never been a guy to be very efficient. He's always wanted to, going back to his days with Bruce Arians, wanted to push the ball downfield, make big plays happen, those broke classic Ben Roethlisberger broken plays where he scrambles around for 13 seconds and heaves it downfield and finds someone. That's not the way the Steelers are getting it done. This is the new Ben Roethlisberger who's taking quick drops, getting the ball out. This is in large part due to Matt Canada, who's their new quarterback's coach and is a completely different offensive mind from Randy Fichtner, their offensive coordinator. They've got pre-snap motions. They've got offensive tackles shifting at the line of scrimmage. They're using every weapon available, and that's a lot of what is leading to Roethlisberger making better pre-snap reads so he doesn't have to make as many post-snap adjustments and finding guys like Chase Claypool, who have just walked in as second-round picks, having four touchdown days.
Did they expect Chase Claypool to play this big a role right away, or did they just see something on Sunday they thought they could exploit with him?
No, they certainly didn't. I mean, Mike Tomlin downplayed and even continued to downplay it in the wake of Sunday's game, guys, that Chase Claypool is going to continue to have this kind of impact. He basically said, we saw something. We had the matchup, and so they attacked it. And I know in Philadelphia all week they've been complaining about Jim Schwartz leaving linebackers on guys in the slot all season. I think maybe the Steelers saw that on film in the first four Eagles games and decided to take advantage of it.
We're talking to Chris Mack, 93.7, The Fan in Pittsburgh, before we go to Carolina around the NFL. This week, the aforementioned 4-1 Cleveland Browns against your 4-0 Steelers. This is the rematch, right, of the Mason Rudolph-Miles Garrett game. It got ugly last year. Like, how bad is the bad blood still between these two division rivals?
You know what's crazy, Danny, is the bad blood is so one-sided. Even, I mean, because the Browns have been terrible since they re-entered the league. There's a history of one playoff game between these two teams, and it was all the way back in 2002 since they re-entered the league. And really, the only other time little brother has bloodied big brother's nose was last year when Miles Garrett swung Mason Rudolph's own helmet at him. Ben Roethlisberger has never lost at Heinz Field to the Cleveland Browns. So this is still a mountain for the Browns. They're hyped. They're excited. This is a one-way rivalry, though. A lot of fans in Pittsburgh still pay no mind to the Browns and probably will continue to pay no mind to the Browns until, like I said, they get their nose bloodied by them in Pittsburgh. People here still look at the Ravens as the number one rival, and the Browns still have something to prove. I know there's people up in Cleveland that feel that way, too, that as much as they hate us down here in Pittsburgh and they hate the Steelers because we represent everything that they have not been about, i.e. winning championships, that they want to see their team knock the Steelers off before they're willing to be all in, all the chips in the middle, and say, yes, this is definitely a playoff team.
Chris Mack, 93.7, The Fan in Pittsburgh. Thank you very much for your time.
Danny, Ryan, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to Carolina.
On third and four, Atlanta blitzes it. Bridgewater goes left wing, caught 50-yard line, down the sideline, Moore 40 to the 30. DJ Moore's got a convoy, and he'll social distance into the end zone for a touchdown.
Does a Forrest Gump right down the tunnel. He continues to run right out of sight.
All right, we've got Chris McClain on now from Carolina. He is from WFNZ in Charlotte. Chris, we very much appreciate your time. Panthers, Bears opponent this week, started 0-2, lost to the Raiders and Bucks, then three straight wins, Chargers, Cardinals, and Falcons. What's been the difference?
The difference, despite what some people say around here, is not that Christian McCaffrey's out of the lineup. But we got some goofy theories that makes them better. I don't know about that. But, man, this is a young team, you know, a lot of turnover, 57% roster turnover, complete new coaching staff, that didn't get, you know, the in-person OTAs and mini camps and all that stuff because of the pandemic. And I just think they're getting more and more comfortable with each other and starting to come into their own. I think the coaching staff has admitted they're starting to figure out how to use players better on both sides of the ball. I do think the offense, it is weird. The offense has been tremendous without McCaffrey. Mike Davis is a bruising back who can also catch it out of the backfield, and he's really been a surprise star. Robbie Anderson has turned into one of the best receivers in the game here in Carolina, so that's been fun. And Teddy Bridgewater's just been solid. You know, it's been a transition without Cam Newton. It doesn't have the style and the flash that Cam has, but he's just solid, and he's getting the ball into the playmakers' hands. So it's been fun here. It's been unexpected. I know that.
What do we know about the status of Christian McCaffrey?
Matt Rhule said in an interview with NFL Radio on Sunday morning before the game that he thought it was 2 weeks out. Then yesterday with the local media, he wouldn't commit to anything. He's having some tests this week. To me, it kind of feels like he won't go this week and maybe the following week against the Saints. But it's not locked in.
You mentioned Mike Davis. I mean, we know him around here. He's a former Bear, but we never saw him really do anything. What's the secret to success for running backs in Carolina?
It's crazy, man. I mean, Mike Davis is running, you know, like he says he's running pissed off. He says he's playing angry, and it shows. I mean, he was carrying Falcons around like he was an Uber driver. I mean, it was unbelievable on Sunday. And I don't know. I mean, he brings up the Bears experience. He brings up, you know, some experiences in the past where it didn't work out. He honestly said he considered quitting football at one point. So he feels like this is an extra chance for him. I also think Joe Brady has made a difference in terms of this offensive scheme here, man. They spread the field out and they get space, you know, for everybody to operate in. He's been great as a receiver as well. So it's been fun to watch, man.
So a little bonus question here, since Bears and Panthers this weekend with Chris McClain, WFNZ in Charlotte. There was a lot of buzz around the hire of Matt Rhule. I know it's obviously early, but what do you feel like you can tell us that you know about the Panthers head coach?
Man, I don't know. I've completely bought in on him. I like the hire when they made it because you look at what he did at Temple and Baylor, not at places where you have, you know, more talent than the opposition in a lot of cases, and the way he kind of took it from bottom and built it up. And I kind of thought, though, we were going to be looking for a long-term build. You know, they gave him the 7-year contract. Heck, the owner, David Tepper, even sent out a letter to PSL owners kind of asking for patience and explaining that Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, it takes time to build things the right way. And I kind of thought, okay, man, this is going to be an ugly first year, but he's the type of cat that, you know, 3 years down the line will be good. To be 3-2 at this point is just remarkable. It feels like it's all gravy. They're playing with house money right now. He has been an amazing impact over there, and it's absolutely surprising, but we're enjoying it, man.
Chris McClain, WFNZ in Charlotte. Enjoy the game this weekend. Thanks, Chris.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right. There's our trip around the NFL. Three guests, three questions, three cities that interest us here on the Danny Parkin Show. Anything stand out to you there, Rami?
What he said about Mike McCarthy doesn't seem, and I remember I read a piece by Tom Pelissero, and he did a little segment on NFL Network about Mike McCarthy basically going on a retreat when he lost a Packers job and sort of just examining himself and what he did right, what he did wrong at the end there with the Packers, and what he could do better. And from what we heard out of Dallas, it doesn't sound like he's that different a guy. Like I said to our friend from Dallas, he just seemed kind of tired and ornery and crotchety at the end of his time in Green Bay. And I like Mike McCarthy. I hope that his time away from the sport maybe lightened him up a little bit, but it doesn't sound like he's any lighter or looser than he was there at the end of his tenure up in Green Bay.
It was so easy to see this coming. I mean, listen, I was never a fan of Mike McCarthy. I thought he wasted Aaron Rodgers' prime. I thought it was criminal that Rodgers only won one Super Bowl. How conservative he was consistently, like stubbornly conservative with the most talented quarterback in the history of the game. Like that's the Seattle NFC Championship game, kicking those field goals inside the 5-yard line. I apoplectic how he handled Aaron Rodgers' prime. I just thought it was so very clearly laughable when you talk about that retreat and all of the profile pieces that were done on him. I go, oh, he studied and he learned and he's going to do all of these new things. Oh, really? Who was with him at the retreat? a bunch of other old school unemployed coaches like going over film. Like, oh, Jim Haslett's there? Cool.
That's who it was. I was trying to think of who it was. It was Jim Haslett. That was his right-hand man up there in the retreat.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, Jim Haslett screams modern football in 2020. Like, what? This was, it was so obvious that they, and by the way, their offense at times has really looked good, but it was very, very easy to tell that that guy was not going to be the old dog who learned new tricks. Now, maybe they just have too much talent on offense that it won't matter. But, yeah, there's no reinvention of Mike McCarthy at this point. I'm sorry.
What our friend from Carolina said about Christian McCaffrey when he first came on, that there are fans who actually think Christian McCaffrey makes them a worse football team, that they're better off with that. Does that happen everywhere? I remember when Giannis went down in the playoffs for the Bucks, and they went on to win that game, and people were like, hey, maybe we're better without Giannis. I was like, are you serious, people? The best player on the planet right now, we're questioning if they're better or worse without him. And the same for Christian McCaffrey. Are we really having this discussion right now whether or not the Panthers are better or worse with probably the best running back on the planet right now?
It's here, when you say, are we serious, and like, does it happen everywhere? Man, watch the news. Yes, like we do this. We do it everywhere. Like, no, everyone just chooses their own facts, their own narrative, their own conspiracy theories. It is lowest common denominator stuff. But yes, it happens everywhere. And it's crazy. Because, I mean, Mike Davis has been good. He's been good.
Sure. Yeah.
He's not Christian McCaffrey. I think that's fairly obvious. Now, I will say, Bears are 3-point underdogs for a reason. Like, Carolina, they've played pretty damn well. More so offensively than defensively. But, like, Teddy Bridgewater, he's not going to make the back-breaking mistake. They've got speed with, I mean, what, they got Curtis Samuel, they got Robbie Anderson, they got DJ Moore, and they got Mike Davis. That's a pretty good grouping of offensive skill position players. I mean, he was saying that, you know, Robbie Anderson's turned himself into one of the best receivers in the NFL. I don't think he's that, but he has been one of the most productive receivers in the NFL through 5 weeks. Like, that's an offense that's going to give the Bears defense some challenges.
And Teddy Bridgewater is shutting me up. I was not the biggest Teddy Bridgewater guy, because when I was up in Minneapolis, people still want to make him mayor up there, Danny, not just the starting quarterback of their football team. He is beloved up in Minneapolis. And I was like, what is all this Teddy Bridgewater love? And then he goes to Carolina and so far has shut me up. I think I read today he's fifth in the league in passing yards, maybe second in touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. The guy is lighting it up. And I don't know if he can keep this type of production going, but so far, so good for Teddy Bridgewater in a Panthers uniform.
Yeah, he's been absolutely phenomenal. We've got Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock, but Rami, I get to, you see, like you said, like people will say anything and argue anything. There's a high profile figure in sports that I get like linked to and lumped in with whenever he does or says something stupid, no matter how many times I try to distance myself from this guy. And it happened again, so we have to address it again. It's coming up on the Danny Parkin Show. Rami Makhlouf in on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
God never says oops. God just says ops.
Dabo. What a clown. Welcome back. It's the Danny Parker Show. Rami Makhlouf in all week. If you're saying, who is Rami Makhlouf? It's a reasonable question. I'm getting to know him as well. He is from Chicago, went to Palatine High School, has done sports radio in Milwaukee and Minneapolis, also a stand-up comedian, and he's going to be in with me for the rest of the week. So we're very happy to have him here. But Rami and I don't really know each other. We've talked on the phone for a few minutes, and then for the last 90 minutes or so on air, so this is kind of trial by fire. But so, Rami, I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I kind of married in to being a Clemson football fan and observer. My wife is a Clemson alum, so she's a big fan. We met watching a Clemson-Syracuse game. Syracuse is my alma mater, so we're kind of a relationship that is the product of conference realignment. If Syracuse never went to the ACC, they never play each other, we never meet watching that game, and now we have a child. But
oh,
so
realignment worked out for you, man.
Yes. Conference realignment worked out, and so I've watched basically every Clemson game for the last 7 years, and it's been a pretty good team to get into and watch. And as I watch, I love the style of football they play. I love how much fun they have in the program. I love the guys they put into the NFL. It's high level, fun, good college football, and so like I'm a fan. But then whenever Dabo says something dumb, like, you know, we're kind of post-racism because we have a black president, or if you protest during the national anthem, you should leave the country, or he has like a baptism on the practice field. Like people are like, Parkins, defend your guy Dabo.
I would fire a coach immediately if he called a player an N-word. No questions asked.
But he did.
Baptism on the football field?
What'd you say?
Did he really have a baptism on the football field?
Yes. When DeAndre Hopkins was there, he had his baptism after practice on the field. And it drew all sorts of scrutiny for, you know, mixing religion and school and the whole thing. But yeah, he's that guy. And he loves to, like, berate the players aggressively on the sideline and show them up, and he always like goes after the punter. And I'm just like, I'm not a fan. I'm not a big Dabo fan, but I'm a fan of the players that he recruits. But so on Saturday, it was their first big game of the year. They're playing the U, top 10 matchup. Clemson's a 2-touchdown favorite. We're watching the game, and it got pretty chippy. Trevor Lawrence had to leave the game for injury for a little bit. There was a lot of trash talking going back and forth. And then Trevor Lawrence scored a rushing touchdown after he left the game. He came back in, and he scores a rushing touchdown, and he spiked the ball and then talked some trash to the Miami defender, and he got flagged for it, for unsportsmanlike conduct. And this is what Dabo Swinney had to say today about his quarterback.
These guys all know I'm tougher on guys like Trevor than I am anybody. Always have been, and it's always been the case here. But unfortunately for me, I don't get many opportunities to get on to Trevor. He makes it really, really hard for me, you know. But I did have a moment the other day because he spiked the ball. And, you know, when he gets to New York or wherever y'all think he's going, he can spike the ball and do whatever he wants to do, but not here. And, you know, it was a good opportunity for me to get on to him. And he was fired up for a second. And he came over and he said, Coach, I'm really sorry. I know I shouldn't have done that. And so, you know, he's just – that's what I love about him is, again, he loves that. He loves to be challenged and coached. But he makes it hard on us. Streeter's done an amazing job with him. And – but he loves that. But it's, you know, our best players – have to be the most disciplined guys. And our best teams, that's the way it's been. And it's no different on this team.
How he lost his cool for a second, though, the way things were going? And
Yeah, but, you know, next time I'm going to put him on kickoff coverage. I'm going to let him cover the kick.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. That's not happening. Come on, dude.
No, you're not. You win the game 42-14, and your quarterback spiked the ball after a touchdown, and you feel the need to show him up and say that he's going to be on kick coverage if he does it again. But, oh, he can do that at the next level, but we don't do that at Clemson. We're this, like, little humble program that plays it the right way. You have a slide in your practice facility. Okay, you have a barbershop and
right,
a mini golf course. Like this is not some like understated college football program that just hands the ball back to the refs. All right, it's ridiculous. I hate his grandstanding, Rami, so damn much. It's nauseating.
Is anybody buying that he's gonna pull him off the field and he can go spike the football in New York? That he's gonna put him on? Like, is Trevor Lawrence even buying that? Does Trevor Lawrence just laugh when Dabo Sweeney says stuff like that? Because I would. There, you're not doing any of that, dude. And what is wrong with spiking a football? Like, there seems to be, and this was evident. This was put on full display when you know COVID first hit the U.S. There was like a pandemic of stupid comments by old school college football coaches. I think Dabo was one of them.
Stop right there. He was. I don't even know what you're going to say, but if there were college football coaches saying dumb things, Dabo was participating.
I don't know what it is about college football. Some of the highest level college football coaches just say some of the dumbest stuff and seem to be the most stuck in the past of anybody in the sports world right now. Why can't a guy, and Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Trevor Lawrence think he was the victim of a dirty hit by the guy who he kind of ran over for that touchdown there at the end and barked something at him after he got up off the ground? Wasn't that the storyline and sort of the backstory to that whole touchdown and his emotion afterwards?
The game was super chippy. The game was super chippy. There was a bunch of rivalry stuff going on. It was an ugly game. And Trevor Lawrence scored a touchdown and had the audacity to spike the football and talk a little junk in a game that they won by 4 touchdowns. You're not putting the best quarterback in the history of your program, and that includes Deshaun Watson. He's not going to be more productive than Deshaun, but in terms of talent, he is. You're not putting him on kickoffs, you grandstanding. Come on.
I'd like to see Trevor Lawrence on punt coverage.
Yeah. Because then Dabo would get fired. Because it would be absolutely ludicrous. And by the way, great program builder. They'll never fire him. They never should fire him. But I like to distinguish. I like the players he recruits, and I like the program, but I absolutely can't stand that dude. And by the way, he would be the worst coach in NFL history. People link him to NFL jobs and link him to the Texans job to reunite him with Deshaun Watson. He would be worse than Adam Gase. He would be worse than Bill O'Brien. He'd be worse than Romeo Crennel. He'd be worse than Mark Trussman. He would be the worst coach in the NFL, period. It would not be close.
$60 million a year contract that you're going to bench him because he spiked a football. Good luck with that.
Completely ridiculous. We've got Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. There was some Bears audio we need to get to because the savior of the team is speaking and we must listen next on The Score.
Over and over and over and over.
That's our guy Juan Castillo. He's the savior, apparently, for the Bears offensive line. And through the first couple weeks, actually looked like he might be. Welcome back to the Danny Parkin Show, Rami Makhlouf, and we have we fixed our echo problem?
I think we're good.
Rami?
Check. 1, 2, 3. Mic checks on the air. Always the best radio. We good? Sound good back there?
Yeah, you sound great.
All right, good.
That's perfect. It was good. I didn't need to be crushing Dabo much longer anyway. That was good. Just like get in, get out, be surgical, point out the absurdity, keep it moving. But we'll talk to Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. When the Bears' assistant coaches speak, we don't get a chance to hear from them very often when they actually go beyond the coordinators. And so, you know, they talked about Juan Castillo in the offseason because he came over from Philly and Matt Nagy knew him there and he's got connections to Andy Reid and the whole thing. And they talked about him like, this is it. This is what's going to make Charles Leno be great. Bobby Massey, You think he's a turnstile at right tackle? Wait till Juan Castillo gets a hold of him. Oh, Jermaine Ifedi, the Seahawks fans were thrilled to see him go. Wait till Juan Castillo can work his magic. Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, your second-round picks. Obviously, Daniels now hurt. Juan Castillo going to turn him from Pro Bowlers to All Pros. And he just seems to love talking to the media. He's very chummy. So we don't get to hear from him often. Let's bask in the glory that is Bears offensive line coach Juan Castillo. He begins by talking about the state of the current Bears offensive line.
I think more than anything for us, Dan, is just the consistency and fundamentals. I think that's part of it, too. I think when coach talks about that is, you know, the more consistent you are in your fundamentals, the better you play, the better you grade out. For us, in our part, as we know, you know, our thing is that we're just trying to be more consistent in our fundamentals. If we're more consistent in our fundamentals, that allows us to win our one-on-ones and do our job, which is what we strive for.
Mark Potash.
Hey, Juan, in the first, you know, five games, the run game has been very effective against average fronts and not very effective against good fronts. When you can't make a lot of changes on an offensive line, how do you get better, besides just working harder at it, how do you get better against better fronts?
You know what? I'll give you an example, Mark. Have you ever written a bad paper or a bad story?
Never.
Never?
Yeah.
You know what? That's right. You know, you hit it on the nail, you know, in your mind, but other people, the critics, just like y'all, you know, you had some good stories and some bad stories. So the thing is, you know, what do you do to try to get a better story? You know, well, sometimes the subjects are a little harder to write about, so it becomes a bigger challenge. So I think it's really, when you look at that, Mark, it's the same thing. Our objective now is to make sure that we keep getting better. You know, so it's work in progress. It's a progression. That's what Andy Reid taught me at Philadelphia. You know, it's not today or tomorrow. It's a progression. It's 16 weeks, and you want to be ready every week, get better and better and better.
Dan?
Juan, on that 17-yard strip sack in the fourth quarter that kind of took you out of touchdown range and put you back for a field goal, what did Bobby do wrong on that play, and what is the coaching point for you in correcting that?
Dan, I think this will be a good subject for you and I to talk about. Maybe, I'll take you to dinner or something in the spring, you know, and we can talk about pass protection.
Juan Castillo, I want to go to dinner with him. I don't know about you. I'd go to dinner with him and learn about pass protection. I don't know, man.
You know what? I'll give you an example, Mark. Have you ever written a bad paper or a bad story?
Never.
Never?
I love Potsy. That's the...
It's a great answer.
Yeah, it is. You know what that is? That's Chicago newspaper man snark.
Yep.
Like, you know, that's a newspaper guy. Radio guy might come back with like a little bit longer of a quip, but that's the newspaper man who's just like, no, I'm asking the questions. Okay, this is my time. You answer, I ask them.
I just feel like that's how you got to go through life, Danny. Like, I've never done anything poorly. I've never had a bad show, never had a bad comedy set, nothing. I hit on everything. Even when I don't, I have to tell myself that I do. Otherwise, I won't get it out of my head for weeks, if not months.
Irrational confidence all the time.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I assume you've bombed, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
In comedy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No doubt.
Well, do you have a good bombing story? What's your worst?
And people might not believe me when I say this. And this is what worried me about this show on Friday where I was at the Milwaukee Comedy Fest. I've never gone to an actual show that people have paid money for and bombed because I work my material over and over and over again at open mics until I know that it's ready and worthy of a paying crowd. So all my bombing has occurred at open mics, which is where it's supposed to occur. And I don't feel the least bit of shame or remorse or regret or anything when I bomb at an open mic because that's practice. That's where you go to fail and learn from your failures. So I can't say I've bombed at a paid show, but I've bombed so many times at an open mic, man. More times than I could count, to be honest with you.
I respect the hell out of that. Now, not bombing at a paid show, though, that's got to be some sort of badge of honor. And I assume most people would say that that's not the case.
Friday, I went into that show and did 40 minutes headlining at the Milwaukee Comedy Fest. And the first 8 or 9 minutes was all brand new material that I didn't try at open mics because we're in a pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. So that was nerve wracking for me, man. I was sweating like Patrick Ewing at the free throw line for the first 8 or 9 minutes of that set on Friday night. But I thought it went over well. I thought the new stuff hit. The old stuff always hits because it's been tried and true. So I was happy with the performance that I had
on Friday night. But yeah, no, every comic has bombed. If you haven't, you're not doing it right.
I would imagine that is correct. Although now you are officially, you know, a member of the score because the top text of the text line 312-644-6767. Well, you're bombing on this show. Your 15 minutes are up. So there you go. The texters have they've come in and they have said that you have in fact bombed.
But, I've officially made it. Thank you, whoever that was.
But don't worry, I've been at the score since January of 2017, and I'm pretty sure the majority of the texters still don't want me here. So it doesn't really.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, Tanny doesn't want me here. Shane,
right, you're right.
Shane really right, doesn't want me here. Shep has never wanted me here.
Right, like, you're right.
Yeah, it's just this. It's a never-ending torrent and avalanche. I'm not very popular in the hallways at the station. That's why the pandemic.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, it was good for me. We're not back at the station, so it's easier to be me in this existence. I can tell you that as someone who does bomb occasionally.
Well, and you're still here. That says something, Tanny, or not Tanny, but Danny, about how good you were. I mean, if everybody at the station doesn't want you around and you're still there, you must be doing something right as far as the job itself.
I think. I've got compromising pictures of the bosses.
Okay, good.
That's pretty much really all it comes down to. But
yeah, it can't be bad for the hallways if you're not here walking down them. So
that's true. That's what I'm saying. It's impossible. It's really worked out to my benefit. But the Bears offensive line now with Nick Foles, by the way, just to put a bow on this thing with Juan Castillo, it's going to be a bigger part of the story than it was with Mitch. Because with Mitch, it was, well, man, the Bears, they can't really run the ball. That would help Mitch out. But Matt Nagy doesn't really want to run the ball, but I'm not sure they know how to run the ball. With Foles, it's going to be all of those things, and Nick Foles is kind of a statue back there. So like it's that like Mitch had some mobility that helped out the offensive line when it came to pass protection.
Yeah, he brought an element that the offense didn't have, and Nick Foles obviously doesn't have. So without Trubisky, I don't know how they move the ball on the ground, Danny. That's what I was wondering when they made that call. Coming into the season, my feeling on the Bears quarterback job was I don't really care who wins it because I don't think they're a whole lot better at quarterback no matter who wins it. But the one thing that I did wonder was when you lose that athletic element and the legs and the feet of Mitch Trubisky, where exactly are you going to get the production on the ground from? And obviously, it's only been a game and a half, but so far we haven't necessarily seen that, but we haven't necessarily seen Matt Nagy really care to run the football either all that much.
Yeah, I think, and I'm a huge Matt Nagy guy. Like I think he's going to be a very good coach. And I think he's already been a pretty good coach, dealt a bad hand at quarterback. But we'll see if I end up being proven right or wrong. I think they're winning in Carolina. I'm surprised that they are underdogs in that game. I think that game should be closer to a pick 'em. They're a 3-point dog. I think it's going to be 2.5 by game time. I think with the extra time, the extra rest, and you know the last 2 weeks, Indy and Tampa, those are top 5, top 6 defenses, depending on what stat you're looking at, what ranking you're looking at. Carolina ain't that. Like I think with the extra time to prepare, another week of game planning for Nick Foles and the Panthers defense, I'm expecting a pretty good offensive performance on Sunday.
Yeah, some people think the Bears may be a paper tiger or fraudulent 4-1 team. If anybody going into this game doesn't match up to their record, and I don't know that neither team actually does, but if either one of these teams I was going to point at and say doesn't live up to the record, for me it's Carolina. I'm less surprised the Bears are where they are than I am where Carolina is where they are.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting way of putting it. I think Carolina, I'm surprised. Like, 3 straight wins is impressive, right? Let me see. I have it written down here. They lost to the Raiders and Bucks. Raiders have beat the Chiefs, have been a pretty tough out. Obviously, no shame in losing to the Bucks. Then they beat the Chargers, Cardinals, and Falcons. No real marquee win there. But yeah, I mean, Carolina looks, I think, a little better than many of us give them credit for, especially without Christian McCaffrey. So should be a good game. And if the Bears are underdogs, there's reasons for it. Their offense, like I said, is looking pretty damn good. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. I've picked against the Bears plenty this year. I'm actually cautiously optimistic.
I'm not a gambler, Danny. I know
really?
You and I are I know you and I are very different in that sense. But isn't a 3-point isn't that basically just a hometown favorite? Like, isn't that as close as it can be to being a pick 'em when the home team gets those 3 points? That's just a home field advantage 3 points, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, and so they're saying then that on a neutral field, it would be a pick 'em, and so they're giving them the home field. But I think on a neutral field, I think the Bears are a little better because of their defense. So and I also don't think home field should be given a full 3 points this year because of no full crowds in stadiums. And so I was off by about a point on the line. Not a huge deal, but yeah, I think the Bears defense was very impressive last week, and with extra time for this game, I think they're going to come out, and it's going to be the best all-around game of the season to this point for the Bears. We'll see if Hub Arkish agrees. Plus, very much looking forward to his take on Dak Prescott and his future, because an NFL executive told Jeremy Fowler at ESPN today, if Dak Prescott hits free agency, Colts and Bears would be the two most likely destinations for Dak Prescott. We'll see what Hub thinks next on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.